Tiol Day at the Kollel. So, of course, Tiol Day at the Kollel means it's Tiol Day for the Kamenetsky family as well. And we went to Ir David, saw some new cool excavations. Tunnel goes all the way from Ir David to the Kotel. So, at the end of the tour, so I need a mincha minyan, so of course I go to the Kotel. So, there's a guy inside the Kotel, he's saying, mincha, 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 mincha. He's looking for a mincha minyan. We got five guys, six guys, seven guys. And we're almost ready for the minyan. And finally, some guy comes along and he asks the guy who's saying, mincha, mincha, ata chiyuv? Are you a chiyuv? Meaning he was saying that he had yahrzeit. So he was asking if the guy wasn't a chiyuv, maybe he would let him be the chazan for the minyan, as is the custom when you have yahrzeit to be the chazan for the minyan. So the guy responds to him and says something that I've never heard in my lifetime anyone ever say. He said to him, "Ani lo b'diyuk chiyuv. I'm not quite exactly a chiyuv, but I'm just letting you know. If you daven for the amud, I will not be able to daven at this minyan because I can't stand your voice." So and he says, "And I hope you're not offended by that." The guy says, "No, I'm not offended." And it turns out they both left, and we didn't end up with a minyan for another 5-6 minutes. I turned to the guy next to me and I said, "Now I know why we still don't have the Beis HaMikdash." The topic I'm going to speak about tonight is unfortunately a topic that is extremely prevalent in high schools. I'm sad to say it's prevalent on the Kollel as well. It's the topic of verbal abuse. The Torah says, "Lo sonu ish es amiso." The Torah puts down an Isser Doraisa. There's an Isser Doraisa to say anything to someone else that could potentially hurt them, that does in fact hurt them. This is what the Gemara refers to as Ona'as Devarim. To say anything to someone else that makes them feel uncomfortable in any way. This is an Isser Doraisa. Like I used to say when I was younger, it's just like driving a car on Shabbos. It's an Isser Doraisa, the Torah prohibition of saying something to someone that causes him any kind of pain. And the fact that it's an Isser Doraisa, that the Torah puts this down as a Torah prohibition, should itself give us pause. Now when I was growing up, people used to run around saying this phrase, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me." Now, that's definitely a good attitude to have if you are on the receiving end of verbal abuse, of some type of negative. It's a good attitude to have, but when you're on the giving end, we unfortunately know that this is absolutely not the case. Words do harm, and I want to speak about it a little bit. So what are we speaking about here? We're speaking about that which everybody here knows very, very well. In high school especially, people tend to call each other out for anything different they find out about them. In DRS, the high school that I happen to be the principal of for the last 19 years, we have actually had to ban the use of the word Sfardi. Of course, there's some people who are very proud of their heritage, but others get offended, and people sometimes use it pejoratively. People call people out for all kinds of things. That people are dumb, that people are smart, that people are rich, that people have no money, that people are short, tall, fat, skinny, good looking, bad looking, people cannot play ball, all people do all day is play ball. People are nerds, bookish, whatever it is, it's all Usser Doraisa. All of it is a violation of a Torah prohibition. Now, why is it so bad? You know, we said it's just words. So, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos teaches us, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. It's interesting that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world, He created the world with speech, with words. Why is that significant? Perhaps the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world with speech was to teach us something. Speech has incredible power. The world was created with speech. Speech is what separates man from the animals. Speech, as Onkelos teaches us, is the connection between man's physical and spiritual side. Speech can either build people up or speech can cut people down to size. There are two statements of the Gemara that are very relevant for us to understand why this is so bad. The first, they're both on the same daf. The whole topic of Anas Devarim is taught in Bava Metzia, Nun Chesam, at Beis. The Gemara there states, Gadol Onas Devarim Yoser Me Onas Mamo. Verbal abuse is worse than monetary abuse, than cheating someone out of money. It's worse to verbally abuse someone as opposed to abuse him monetarily. Shezeb gufo, vizeb mamono. One of them you're just damaging his property, but one of them you're damaging the person's very sense of self, the person's very essence, the person's very persona. Ze nitan lehe shavon, ze lo nitan lehe shavon. One of them you can just give back the money and okay, the guy has it back and he hasn't lost anything. But when you embarrass somebody, when you take away somebody's self-esteem, you can't give it back. Bezu nemar v'yareisa me'elokecha, u'bezu lo nemar me'yareisa me'elokecha. One of them, about one of them, the Torah says, lo sonu v'yareisa v'yareisa me'elokecha, be scared of Hashem. And when it comes to stealing money, it doesn't say be scared of Hashem. So I saw a beautiful article actually by the father of one of the boys on Kol. See, here was Reuven sitting here. Your father wrote a beautiful article about this when I was researching it today. So he points out, Reuven's father, Rabbi Ari Sittner, points out that when the Gemara lists the various topics, types of verbal abuse, the Gemara actually gives you five examples of verbal abuse. I want to go into all of them, but basically, the first one is you tell a guy who all of a sudden became a lot more religious, you tell him, ah, you think you're so religious? I remember when you weren't so religious. What do you all of a sudden, some of us might come home from Kol, maybe we made some commitments in certain ways. So people are going to say, all of a sudden you became so religious. You went to Kol, you became so religious. So I remember you when you weren't so religious. Once happened to me, I was learning with a guy, I was in the Gruss Kol back in the day, and at that time there was the yeshiva together with Gruss Kol. And this guy who I was learning with had really made a lot of changes, Shana Aleph. He had really gotten really into it. This was already his Shana Bet. I remember I was learning with him, and some guy came into the base medrash, a guy who hadn't even come to Israel at all, a guy who was in high school with him. And a guy who, let's say, the two of them had some really interesting times in high school together. And as I'm sitting there learning with the guy, he starts telling him, oh, how you doing? How's it going? Remember the time we did this in high school? Wait, the books can wait. And he starts, and the guy was like, mom, sick to his stomach. He was so... It was like because he was reminding him of the person that he used to be. And it was like a disaster. But other things in the Gemara talks about how, you know, if somebody's sick, you know, if somebody just broke his arm, somebody just broke his leg, you say to him, you know, if you broke your arm, Hashem must have had a good reason for doing it to you. The Gemara talks about that. Or things like that. Now, sometimes when you say to a person, you know, I really think you may need to do tshuva in a certain area, so because Hashem broke your arm. Sometimes your intentions might be sincere, but says the Gemara, v'yareisa me'elokecha, darzeh maser l'lev. The Gemara says, whenever it says v'yareisa me'elokecha, that means sometimes you can claim that you're meaning something on the outside, but if you look underneath, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what your real intention is. Your real intention is to make the guy feel like an idiot. So, we have to understand this. Sometimes the things we say to other people seem to the outside as just innocent comments, like, why are you taking it so seriously? Why did you get so upset about it? I just meant it as a joke. But only Hashem knows our true intentions. But gentlemen, in a very, very famous statement of the Gemara goes much further than this. Hamal ben pnei chaveru barabim ki'ilu shofech damin. When you embarrass someone, when you say that little negative comment to make a person feel a little bad, says the Gemara, this is considered like killing someone. When that word comes out of your mouth just to take advantage of someone, to make a joke about somebody, just to get a laugh out of that person, realize
You are shooting a bullet at that person. The word that comes out of your mouth is an arrow laced with poison. That's what we're going to lay on Tisha B'Av in the Haftorah. Chetz Shachut Lishonam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about the Jews who talk one way on the outside, but on the inside are really something else. The tongue is mamish like an arrow. It's like a bullet. You shoot those words out, make somebody else feel bad. Mamish like killing somebody. And I have a new pshat in this. And I know it's a little bit extreme. But unfortunately, it's not so extreme. I'm sure you're all familiar with this. I have a new pshat in this in the age of the internet. When you say something negative about a person, it's like you're killing them. How many of us know examples, unfortunately, of people who have, Rahman al-Islam, committed suicide over the fact that people have made fun of them publicly, or have put their names up, or put their picture up on the internet, or have done other things like that? It's mamash now a new pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara knew about this hundreds of years ago. Now we see situations of mal pnei chaver v'ra'am, which is mamash shofech damim. New pshat in the Gemara. We never before had such a thing like this, where people are so sick about people making fun of them and constantly making fun of them that you're fat or you're ugly or you're stupid or you don't know anything. Why do you, that kid in the class who keeps asking questions, where everyone tells him, what do you keep asking such stupid questions? What do you keep asking when the kid picks up his hand and the whole rest of the class rolls their eyes at him? Oh, that guy again, he asked the stupidest question. He just said it 2 minutes ago. Why didn't you listen? Ki'ilu shofech damim. We have to realize, every time a word like that comes out of your mouth, it is a bullet shot at the person's heart. That's the attitude that you have to have for it. That's what the Gemara says. Hamalam p'nei chaver v'ra'am. This is a major sickness in many, many high schools. The Gemara says the reason why it's like killing is the person's face changes either from red to white or white to red, depending on the girsa. We don't know people's sensitivities. We don't know when a word to a person is going to hurt them. Are they laughing with you, or are they just laughing to cover up their own insecurities? There's a girl by the name of Lizzie Velasquez. She was voted on the internet as the ugliest girl in the entire world. She was born with a disease called Marfan's disease, which does not allow you to accumulate body fat. And people would bully her and torture her. She's all bony. She's all like skin and bone. She doesn't have any body fat. It's not her fault. That's the way she has a disease. But people on the internet vote her ugly. What happened? What did she do? She decided to take it and turn it into something positive, and she says she started talking to groups about not speaking negatively to people, and she became a very famous speaker. She wrote books, and she's not Jewish, but she actually says she found God in this, and she feels that the reason why God gave her this thing was to be able to teach people about the right way to speak to people. So number one, gentlemen, it's really bad. We need to know just how bad it is to say anything negative about a person. Words kill. Words, Hashem created the world with words. Words, as we'll speak about in a moment, have the ability to kill somebody, have the ability to lift somebody up. Number one, it's really bad. Why do we do it? Why do so many of us, all of us, if we really want to be honest, myself included, why do all of us, maybe not all of us, there might be one or two people here who don't have this issue, but I imagine that 75 to 80 to 85% of us have this issue. Why do we do this? So I'd like to suggest a few reasons why we do this, but I'd love to hear from you if you have suggestions as well. We can get some audience participation going. But I'd like to suggest three reasons why we do this. Number one, we simply don't realize how bad it is. I've been involved with high school kids for the last 25 years of my life. It's very, very rare
to find someone who is so insensitive, although I have seen some of them in my time, but who's so insensitive, who's so nasty, that if they really realized how much they're hurting the other person, they would still say it anyway. People just don't realize other people's sensitivities. You don't realize how much what you're saying to somebody else hurts. You don't realize that you're killing the person. And you keep on day after day making fun of the person, saying the same thing, just the same jokes. We keep making the same jokes about the person, and you don't realize day after day you're killing him, you're killing him. You don't realize. It's just a joke, we say. They even laughed when I said it. But underneath they are burning. Most Jews who do this to other Jews are not mean, nasty people. They just don't realize they're shooting a bullet through the person's heart. We don't realize how people have all kinds of sensitivities. I want to teach you something. I thought such a beautiful pshat in the Chumash about this. The Torah says about Yaakov Avinu, Vayehav Gamas Rachel Mileah. The Torah says about the tzaddik, Yaakov Avinu, he loved Rachel more than Leah. That's an interesting Torah in its own right. What's the pshat in that? But that's what the Chumash says. Vayehav is Rachel Mileah. He loved Rachel more than Leah. Next pasuk says, Vayah Hashem kisnu Leah. And God heard, saw, that Leah was hated, Vayiftach es Rachma. And therefore God allowed Leah to have a child. Rabbi Pesach Kroll once spoke at DRS about 15 years ago, and he asked his kash. It wasn't his own kash. I forgot who he was quoting. But he asked, what's going on in the Chumash? What do you mean? Hashem saw that Leah was hated. Chas v'shalom that Yaakov Avinu hated Leah? No, the Chumash doesn't say Yaakov hated Leah. It just says that he loved Rachel more than Leah. It doesn't say he hated her. So why does the Torah say the next pasuk, Vayah Hashem kisnu Leah, that Leah was hated? Said Rabbi Kron, what do you see from this? And this is a lesson for life, especially when you get married. You better remember this lesson. But even before you get married, you got to remember it now. It's not what you said. It's the way the person took it. Yaakov might have only loved Rachel more than Leah. He didn't hate Leah. But you know what Leah felt? She felt she was hated. So the pasuk says, Vayah Hashem kisnu Leah. God treated it as if he was hated. Not just that Yaakov loved Rachel more. What do you see from this? You see from this that it's not what you said, but it's the way the other person took it. And yeah, some people are hypersensitive about stuff, but that's your problem. If someone's hypersensitive about their weight or about their height or about their looks or about the amount of money that they either do or don't have, or about the amount of brains they do or don't have, or about the amount of ball-playing ability that they do or don't have, that's your problem. And it's the same issue d'oraisa. And it's the same killing. So number one is, we just don't realize how bad it is. The pasuk states, Shalman ha-chayim v'hamaves b'yad ha-lashon. Life and death is in the hands of speech. We don't realize, and we're going to speak about it in a minute, we can either build people up or we could shoot them down with the speech. So that's reason number one we do it. We don't realize how bad it is. Number two, we do it because we want attention. We watch sitcoms, and the way people are cool is they make fun of people. I think Jerry Seinfeld made a living out of this. If you can put people down, people are scared. I mean, I never saw it, but that's what I think. So that's what people tell me. If you can put people... I really never saw it. If you can put people down, people are scared of you and try to impress you. Oftentimes, when people put other people down, it's actually because they themselves have a lack of self-esteem. So in order to put themselves up, they need to put everybody else down. And my question is, are you so low that to put yourself up, you need to put people down? People who have a healthy sense of self don't need to put other people down. And when I see people putting other people down, I actually feel badly for them.
I feel badly for that kind of person. Because the only way he knows how to interact with other people is showing how much better he is than that person. I feel sad for such a person. The only way he knows how to put himself up is by putting other people down. But that's another reason. We want attention. We want everybody to think that we're better than everybody. And the third reason that I'm going to suggest, and there are many, many more reasons, but the third reason is, and here's where I think the real work has to be done. We don't have enough understanding, patience, and tolerance for differences amongst people. We don't respect people's differences. We look at somebody who's short and it bothers us. We look at somebody who is smarter than us and it bothers us. We look at somebody who's a better ball player or a worse ball player and we don't have the patience and respect and tolerance for them. We live in the I generation. Everybody wants a minion that is exactly for them. Everybody wants to associate with people exactly like them. Everybody feels they're so respected that they only need to hang out with people who are exactly like them. And somebody who grew up differently with a different set of values or different type of upbringing. Maybe what you think is funny, the other person doesn't think it's funny. Maybe what you think is good behavior, the other person doesn't think it's good. What you like to do, he doesn't like to do. So we don't have patience and tolerance for the differences among people. This is a crucial, fundamental aspect of being part of the Jewish people. Hashem made 12 tribes. There are 12 tribes. You know why there were 12 tribes in the Jewish people? Because Hashem didn't want every single Jew being exactly the same. And if you read Yaakov Avinu, before his death, he highlighted the various talents of each tribe. Before he did it, he says, "Hey, kavtsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov. Come together." And then after he gave them those brachos, he says, "Ish asher kivirchaso b'racho sam." That he wanted each tribe to be able to contribute to the entirety of Klal Yisrael. We have to realize, the Mishnah says, "Kishem shepar tzufeihem shonim." Just like there are no two people who have exactly the same facial features, "Kach deoseihem shonim." There are millions of different kinds of Jews there, and we have to have love and patience and tolerance and understanding for all of them. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. We have the Zeh Klal Gadol BaTorah. The most fundamental principle, according to some, is to love every Jew. To love every Jew. To only want the best for every Jew. To only say positive things to every Jew. Klal Yisrael is made up of so many different kinds of people. We have to tolerate this. We have a commandment to treat every Jew like our brother. There's no better time of the year than the day before Tisha B'Av. There's no better time of year than the day before Tisha B'Av to do some serious cheshbon hanefesh about the things that we said. Maybe we should think right now. Maybe we should think right now. How many times in my life have I killed somebody? You should think about it right now. How many times in my life have I just pulled out a gun and killed somebody? I remember when I was studying in yeshiva in Karen Biavna, so there was one guy in yeshiva who was unbelievably annoying. He was so annoying. He would come over, I'm in the middle of learning with the Chavrus, he would come over to me and bother me with the most inane questions. Ridiculous questions. I give him an answer, he still wouldn't take the answer. But what about this? But what about that? What about that? And everyone in the yeshiva thought this guy was so annoying. Really annoying. And you know something? I hated this kid. I could not stand this kid. And you know something? It bothered me so much that I hated this kid. It bothered me so much. And I thought about it, and thought about it, and thought about it, and the guy kept on coming over to me, and kept on annoying the daylights out of me, kept on bothering me. And I thought about it, and thought about it, and thought about it. And I said, you know what? My avoda is that I got to try to figure out a way to love this guy. And I worked on myself, and when he would start coming over to me, ask a question, I would take a deep breath. And I worked on myself, and I worked on myself, and gradually, over time, he didn't bother me anymore. I just realized, this is who he is, and guess what?
I'm not perfect either. I have plenty of annoying traits and things that I do that bother people also. I'm not God's gift to humanity either. I'm not perfect either. So he has this thing, I have other things. So why am I looking down at him because he's annoying? We can work on this. So, bringing it home a little bit, what can we do to fix this? So, a couple of suggestions, and then maybe we'll open it up to the floor if other people want to say something. Number one, realize people have insecurities. Realize when you're picking on somebody, when you're saying something about somebody, you may be touching on a nerve. You think you're just saying something as a joke. You don't realize what people are thinking inside. You may be touching on something that's very, very sensitive. It doesn't matter what you said. It matters what the other person feels. So just if you have a question about whether something's going to really hurt somebody, just don't say it. You got to control yourself. You got to learn. And I want to speak a lot of this. I don't have so much time, but you don't know how much a positive word builds somebody up. How much giving somebody an encouraging word, a high five, especially if you're one of the more popular kids, how much going over to somebody to say something positive, to say something nice, to say something encouraging, especially to a kid who you don't like so much or is not part of your inner circle, someone who you're not exactly like. How important it is. Realize people's insecurities. Only joke with people you are 100% sure that they are really your good friends and have a healthy sense of self-esteem and won't get annoyed by it. Watch out for your intentions. When negative words come out of your mouth, realize that your mouth is a machine gun. Your mouth is a machine gun. Your mouth can kill people's self-worth, can kill people's self-esteem. The Gemara says, like we said before. Remember, you're not that great yourself. No one likes people to say negative things about them. No one likes hurtful words. And remember, as well, the power of positive words to build people up. Remember how good you can make people feel with words. And you'll say, it's just words. It's just words. But words lift somebody up. Words make a person feel like they matter. We live in a world where everybody's so busy, everybody's so glued to their devices, nobody even takes up the time to pick up their heads to acknowledge other people. Families, parents are so busy. Parents are working jobs till late at night. Parents don't come home. Kids don't see parents. Nobody has any time or patience or attention for anybody. When you take time out of your day and just go over to a person to acknowledge that person, to see how that person's doing, to build that person up, to say something nice to that person, you have the potential to lift people up, to build worlds. And finally, and then maybe we'll open it up to a little bit of question and answer. We'll open up to a little bit of time at the end. Finally, I want to share with you one story. You know, I said at the beginning that this attitude, these kind of words are prevalent on Kollel as well. And I want to share with you that a very long time ago, going back over 20 years for sure, there was a young man who was deciding what to do over the summer. A young man who was a student of mine at the time. And at that time, he had decided, it was already February, March, April, and he had decided to go on a summer program, which I didn't think was going to be such a positive, productive experience for him. But that's the decision that he made. And then it was May, and he went to a Shabbaton. And at that Shabbaton, he spent the whole Shabbos hanging out with kids who were headed to NCSY Kollel that summer.
and the kids were headed to NC Swai Polo.
We're extremely positive, gracious, good people. And this guy went to a school where this was not the normal way people spoke to each other. People spoke to each other very negatively. People put each other down all the time. Very negative. And this was the kind of atmosphere that this kid had used to be in. He went to the Shabbaton and he saw the kids from NC Swai Polo. He saw the way kids were actually speaking nicely to each other, speaking encouragingly to each other over this whole Shabbos. And because of being with that group, he came to me after the Shabbaton and he said, you know, being with that group of kids, there's no way I can go through with my plans for the summer. I got to be in a place where people know how to speak nice. I got to be with the kids from Kolo. I got to be at that with that group. Because I know that I want to put myself in an atmosphere that people are going to say the right things to other people, that people are going to be encouraging. That's just the way I know that I'm supposed to be. And it bothers me that I have to live all the time in a culture of where people are constantly looking to say the negative. So gentlemen, obviously, it's a lot easier said than done. But we all know that this exists in our schools, and it exists in our culture. And I really want to tell you that you guys so much can make a difference in this regard. There's 220 kids on the Kolel. If guys go back to their high schools and make a commitment to end the madness, this is I so strongly believe that this is one of the major reasons why we still don't have Mashiach, because of the fighting that we do with each other, because of the negative interactions with people, because this group can't get along with that group, because the Hasidim can't get along with the Misnagdim, and the Ashkenazim can't get along with the Sephardim, and the observant Jews can't get along with the non-observant Jews. Everybody has to just hurl barbs and criticism, and it all starts in our own classrooms, in our own hallways, at our own breakfast tables. It starts at the breakfast tables on Kolo and the lunch tables. That's where it starts. So I urge everyone to stand up for this value, to hang around with people who don't speak like this. Each of us has the ability to go back to our grades, and we can decide that in our grade, it's just not cool to do this. You know, I can identify, I've been in the high school business for many years now, 24 years. And it's so interesting how you have some grades where this is totally not an issue. And you know the grades that this is totally not an issue? When the leaders in the grade aren't like that. The leaders in the grade, the guys who are the most popular kids for whatever reason, the leaders in the grade, they don't talk like this. They make everybody feel a part of it. We've had grades where the leaders are those kind of kids that they just make everyone feel a part of it. They don't draw boundaries between people. They don't build fences between people. They're just the kind of people that make everyone feel wanted. And then you have other grades where, let's just say, that is not the case. And the leaders are exclusive and they don't have patience for people who aren't as cool as them, or they don't have patience for people who don't have as much money as them, or whatever it is, or don't dress like them, or aren't ball players, or whatever it might be. The leaders have to lead. Each one of us can go out of our way to speak to the people who are victims of this and build them up. You have the power to go over and speak to that person who you saw somebody else say something negative to, and go over to that person and say, no, you do mean something, and just befriend that person. You might want to try to get friendly with that person. Invite them over to your house. We can make a tremendous difference. And if we can teach the Jewish people this, NC Swai Kolo is so amazing at this in so many ways. You know, this is like... This is the only place on earth, and I'm telling you, it's the only place on earth, this Kolel,
when you could have rebbes from different yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael all teaching on the same summer program and somehow all getting along with each other, and no, none of this, you know, bashing the other place and bashing the other. This is like the only place in the world that such a thing like that could happen. That's because our Rabinovitz believes in this ideal so strongly. He believes in such a sense of tolerance and love for every Jew, and it's not your derech or the other person's derech or this way of learning or this way of Judaism or this brand. Everybody has a place here. Everybody. Whatever school you come from, whatever community you come from, whether you're a mini teal guy or you're a ball guy or you're a whatever you are, a learning guy or whatever you are, there's a place. That's what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be like. We're supposed to have an understanding and a tolerance and a love for every single member of Klal Yisrael. So I hope that some of the things that we spoke about tonight resonate, and I hope that we could really feel that we can go back to our high schools and make a difference. We have like 2 minutes left. 3 minutes left. Does anyone have any questions or thoughts to add to this discussion? Yes.
How does Tochacha fit into this situation?
Great question. How does Tochacha fit into this? Like, if there's a kid in your school who you see behaving inappropriately, should you go over to him and say, hey, that's not cool, we don't talk to people like that? How does Tochacha fit into this? So, my general rule with Tochacha, I mean, it's not my general rule, the Halacha's general rule with Tochacha, with telling people bad things like this, is you're only supposed to say something if you think it will be listened to. If you think there is a reasonable amount of, it's more than likely that it will be listened to. Generally speaking, I don't urge people who are the same, who are on the same level of high school to rebuke each other. If the person's a good friend of yours, then I would say he's going to listen. In general, the Halacha says, to give tochacha at a time where it's not going to be listened to, that is not a good idea. You're just going to make the situation worse. What you always can do is go to the person who is on the receiving end and hang out with that person, befriend that person, give chizuk to that person, tell that person that that was not right what the guy did, and you don't agree to it, you don't subscribe to it. You know, that's the innocent bystander. That's the person who could really help out. But if it's someone who's a tochacha, really should only be given to someone who's a friend of yours, because someone who's a friend of yours is going to take it in the right way. When you give tochacha to someone who's not a friend of yours, they're basically going to say to you, who are you to be telling me what to do? It's not going to make the situation any better. That's the cardinal rule of tochacha. Any other points? Yes.
You said that you worked on it. What does that mean when you say you worked on it?
When I say I worked on it, I meant that it was bothering me that I hated this guy so much, that he was annoying me so much. And I worked myself, I said, but he's a Jew. He's a Jew, and I have a commitment to love him. So the way I worked on it, I said, you know, I'm looking down at him because he's so annoying, but I'm not so perfect myself either. I do things wrong too. So why am I better than him? Why am I so much better that I'm looking down at this guy? Okay, he has a problem that he's annoying, and I have a problem that I talk Lashon Hara sometimes, or I do other bad things. I'm not so much better than him. I think that's the attitude that a person's supposed to have. Yeah, people have these other traits, but we have to learn how to be tolerant. And just because that person has that trait, that doesn't mean that I'm so perfect. Okay, I think it's time for the next year. Thank you very much for your time.